Hear the word of God. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And the name of the other, Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons with her, Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone with all the people, stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, those who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all the people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. This is the word of the living God. People of God, as we come to this chapter, we find that the theme of this chapter is much more important than its structure. The structure is quite simple. In verses 1 through 12, we will see how Jethro hears about the truth of the Lord. He hears about God, and he praises God personally for all that he hears. He affirms the truth that there is but one true and living God, and he even will bring an offering to the people. But the second part of the passage is the part in which he advises Moses on how to deal to deal justly with the people. But one of the things that I want to point out is that the first part of the passage is all about Jethro, really Jethro coming to know the Lord. As a Gentile, he comes to trust in the Lord. It opens by saying that he had heard about how God had blessed Moses and God had blessed Israel. He heard the reports about this. Maybe he heard the reports from caravans that would be passing through the community. That's kind of how the internet worked in those days. It worked by caravans. A caravan would be coming along and you would find out who that was as they stopped at an oasis. And you would find out all the news that they could deliver to you. Remember the caravan that took place when Joseph was given to a caravan and sold by his brothers into this caravan, and he was sent to Egypt. Caravans were a common thing. And as caravans would come and go, there would be stories that would be told. Maybe he heard the stories as well from Zipporah and her sons when they were sent to him, because it said that they lived with Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, for a period of time. But what we find in this passage is that Moses is the one who is demonstrating the power of God and the glory of God. And in this passage, Jethro hears all of the things that God had done. That's repeated twice in the early part of this passage. And as Jethro hears about all of the things that God had done, he becomes a believer, a true believer in God. He becomes one who trusts in the living God. What God had done for Israel in Egypt, how they left Egypt, and how they had gone through that period of time with the plagues. He might have gone over that history or heard that history. He might have heard all of the troubles that the Israelites had when they left Egypt. Remember, when they left Egypt, they were there at the Red Sea, and the sea had to be parted by the power of God. They went into the wilderness of sin. And when they were there, they stopped at Marah, and they grumbled, and they complained. There was a shortage of water at Massah and Meribah. And then the Amalekites attacked them. He heard all of these things. He heard all of these stories. And in all of these stories, Moses gives the glory to God, and Jethro hears these stories. And the stories are centered upon the powerful things of the Lord. Moses gives the glory to God in all of these things. As I was reading this passage, even this morning again, and thinking of this particular point, it struck me that Moses didn't sort of brag on himself. You know, look at me. Remember when I came and saw you? What it would have been 40 years prior, or how many years before. Remember when I was this outcast from Egypt? Pharaoh was on my tail. Pharaoh wanted to kill me. And I came and I found your daughter. I married your daughter. But look at where I'm at now. You can almost see he would have, you know, been in a place where he could have said, look, I am in a great position now. There are almost a million people following me, and I'm in charge. He could have said that. He didn't say it at all. Moses gave glory to God. It wasn't his leadership role that he was exalting. It was not his ability to carry out the miracles that took place that he might have talked about, the miracle of dividing the Red Sea. You know, wouldn't you have wanted to see that? That would have been a neat thing to see. I love seeing it on TV when I saw the Ten Commandments, the movie, and the miracle of the opening of the sea. It was a pretty neat looking thing. But can you imagine having been there? Wouldn't you have wanted to see that and to see the man who was responsible for helping that occur? None of that's in this passage. Nothing about Moses. It's all about what God has done for his people. This would have failed. This story would have failed to be a story that would have been put on television. There's no glitz, there's no glory, there's nothing in it about Moses. nothing about Moses. It's all about God. And it's no wonder that hearing about all that God has done, that as we come then to verse 10, Jethro hears all of these things, and what does he do? He says, "Now I know." That's an expression that's commonly used throughout the Old Testament, many different places, where a person is convinced by the truth of an event that they have heard, and it's a conviction that they have on the part of that individual. "Now I know that God is the Lord." Jethro became a follower of Yahweh, a Gentile convert, who would come to be a part of that great conversion experience that would take place throughout history of Jews and Gentiles being brought into the kingdom of God. And Jethro is one of the first who comes into the kingdom of God. And notice what he does as he hears all of the things that God has done. He rejoices with Moses. He offers praise to God. He brings his sacrifice to the Lord. And he ends up at a communion table with Israel, blessing, eating bread together, and blessing the name of God. His witness is a witness of the praise and the confession and the sacrifice of the living God. These are acts of worship. Jethro is a believer in the Lord. Now Moses and Jethro, they went into the tent earlier in the passage, it says, and they talked together, but they weren't talking about the weather per se or sheep herding. You know, what's the best oasis that you stopped at on your way here? If I'm on my way back in that direction, where should I go? No, it's not the latest caravan gossip. All they talked about were the wondrous works of God. Jethro is told about the marvelous deeds of Yahweh. Moses' testimony is sharing the good news to his father-in-law of the powerful work of the living God. This is what we ought to be doing ourselves when we gather with our families and with friends. We ought to talk with one another about God and the glory of God and the power of God and the sovereignty of God and the love of God in and through Jesus Christ. And Moses is an example of that in this passage. He spoke of the wonderful works of God. You see, to be a Christian is to know God's name and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is also that we declare Jesus is Lord and sovereign and supreme over all. He is the one who is superior to all in mercy, superior in grace, his forgiveness, his love, superior in his power and glory. He is Lord. And the one who believes in Jesus Christ glorifies the Lord and confesses the Lord before others. That's what we see Jethro doing as well as he shares the meal with the people of the Lord. He's celebrating in a covenanted celebration and affirming his faith in God, in his grace, and in his justice and in his love. The first part of this 18th chapter speaks of Jethro's conversion, but then the second part, it immediately moves at verse 13 to the discussion of the administration of justice in Israel. And the first thing that we find in the passage is that Jethro observes really this. He says, "Moses, you're doing too much." You get the picture of that when you see what happens. Verse 13, follow as we read. "The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning until evening, all day long. And Moses looked at what was happening, what Moses was doing. And then he asks Moses, why are you doing this alone? And all of the people stand there from morning until evening. And Moses said, well, because the people come to inquire about God. And when they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another. Moses is the mediator. Moses is the one who brings the word of God and applies it to the lives of God's people. He applies justice to them. Justice is a religious fact. I want to point that out because so many people today don't seem to think justice is to be tied together with religion at all. But if you take justice away from God, you're going to destroy it. If you take justice away from the scripture, you'll no longer have justice. Justice today is totally contrary to the word of God. For example, we no longer punish evildoers. We no longer punish those who sin. Those who do evil, sometimes they're rewarded. The contemporary view of justice is some sort of distillation of human experiences, and we put our experiences together and we say, this is what justice should look like for us. But for Jethro and for Moses, justice would be dealt with not on the basis of what the community wanted, but what God had revealed in his word. The fact is, today, the church is rather silent in many matters of justice, and that's a shame because the church should be speaking to the world, speaking on the basis of what the word of God says, applying God's word, but the church does not do so. The church doesn't speak against evil today. It doesn't speak against murder. It doesn't speak against abortion, as it should. It doesn't speak about the evil in our society that we see over and over and over again. We should be applying the word of God to our society. And anybody in the church, and unfortunately there are many even in the church, there are some who say the church shouldn't speak to the world about justice. The church should just speak about the church and about Jesus. Well, the church should be speaking about Jesus, but the church should speak about whatever God's word has to say. And God's word has a lot to say about justice. In fact, the whole of this chapter is about the justice of God and the God of justice. It's about God, and in relationship to God, Jethro comes into that relationship, but it's also about the world and God's relation to the world and his world. He is related to it by sending a mediator into this world to be the one who declares the justice, the righteousness of God. Moses was that mediator for Israel. We saw that in the earlier part of this last part of the chapter. He is there from morning until evening, and it's a lot of work. And Jethro then suggests to Moses that his work is too much. It's too much for you. It's too much for you to do this all day long. So his resolution that he puts forth and his advice is that Moses should have some help in this administration of justice. And he advises Moses to choose faithful men to act as justice. And when it speaks of faithful men, it's a word that means an army, a great deal of people. And as you look at it, it's people over thousands and tens and hundreds. And if you kind of look at it in that way, you see there's a structure here to this whole force, army of men that Moses is to put together to serve. And they are to be men who are able. They are to be men who fear God. They are men who uphold God's law. But notice they are men who are to be dependable, and they are to be incorruptible. They are to hate unjust gain. In other words, they are to be godly men. And it's really the same description in many ways of those who are presbyters in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the structure is almost the same as well. But those who are in the church and called to serve as presbyters and who are to apply God's word to the people of God. They are to be men who fear God. They are to be under God's law, upholding God's law. They are to be dependable. They are to be incorruptible. You know, it's such a shame when you hear the news about someone who was corruptible in the church, a corrupt minister, a corrupt elder, a corrupt person. They are to be incorruptible. They are to be men who are under the word of God. And that is what Presbyterianism is all about. Leaders of God's people, leaders who take God's word, who teach God's word, who apply God's word to the people of God. In order for justice and righteousness to come among the people of God, there must be men who fear God, men of sound judgment, great reverence, and personal holiness. And the word of God is to be taught, and it is to be central to the sanctification and to the lives of God's people. We are to have that word of God, and it is to be applied to us by those who teach it. It is to be taught to us, and it is that word alone which will give us what we need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God would continue to give his church men of the word, men like Moses chose for justice in Israel, men who are faithful to the word of God, faithful to the scripture, able to take that word and to sanctify those and to give it to those, teach it to those, that they might be sanctified by its truth, that the glory of God might be made known in the midst of the people of God. Without it, we have no hope. Without it, we'll be like Moses, day and night waiting and trying to figure it out. But no, there was a structure that was applied. There were judges that were appointed. There were men that were brought in. And Moses, through these judges, was able to continue his role as mediator of God's people and was able to lead them in the scripture and in the truth of the living God. We need that truth ourselves. Pray that God would give us that truth, continue to give it to us, and bless us with those who are able to teach it and to apply it, that we might live to the glory of his name. Amen.